are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this February 12th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us on what is a gorgeous day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Sun is shining, it's warm outside, and I hear people not complaining about the cold anymore. So that makes me happy. Hopefully you're happy today, and we're happy to be with you in the studio. We have so much to get to on today's program. I believe we're going to hit a little bit of all three major sports today, which is something that doesn't happen often, doesn't happen a ton, but as we are in crossover mode officially tomorrow for Auburn basketball, Auburn baseball, and there's always news going on around Auburn football as well. All of that on today's program. Christian, happy Thursday, sir. How are you?
Happy Thursday. You mentioned it. Yeah, I mean, we're in short sleeves today. We don't have the hoodies on. I mean, this is pretty big around here.
I like
here.
It. I mean, you know, this is... I hate to say it. This is golfing weather.
Ooh.
And you know what we're not doing? Golfing.
Joke's on you. This is actually fall spring. Give it like another week and we'll be right back to
probably
the beginning of baseball weather. This is too good for baseball weather to start in February. I mean, there's no way that we're
this
allowed
is such
to
a
have
tease.
This.
Oh, this is such a tease. Yeah, there's going to be, because we start our high school baseball coverage at the end of this month. There will be that second week of March
Correct.
Cold front
yes.
where we freeze to death. But then by the end of March, when we're outside calling games, we're going to be sweating to death.
Yeah, you'll wish for the first and second week of high school baseball season.
Yeah, but again, today's a beautiful day. We are so happy to be here and so much to get to on today's program. Again, we're hitting all three sports. We're going to talk some college basketball to start today. We have some Auburn football updates to talk about. Of course, baseball gets started tomorrow at Plainsman Park, opening day for college baseball tomorrow. So very excited for that. Plus two great guests on the program, as we always do on Thursday afternoons. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us at 2:30 to talk Auburn basketball and Auburn baseball. And then Chris Gordy will join us at 3:30, where we get to hit basketball and baseball with him as well. So excited for that and a loaded show this afternoon.
It is. It's going to be, again, a whole lot of fun. There's not too many days that we get to bounce around all three sports with major news and not necessarily just topics of conversation. And so we're really excited to be able to bring a really good show here on this Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, so before, around, and after our guest, the phone lines are open. If you'd like to be a part of today's show, we'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind on this Thursday afternoon, you can give us a call. 334-321-1390.
Dang it.
What?
Oh, you didn't hear it. Good.
Was it your computer?
I pulled up ESPN, and yes, add another tally.
I mean, eventually you're just going to, like, rip the speakers out of your computer or something.
It's like 5-2.
Score is not in your favor.
No, it's not. I'm about to go in here and make sure that your sound is on every time to start every show.
Hmm.
For those that don't know, we have a tally going for our
computer,
how many times
audio
we go to any sort of monitor or any sort of website and our audio is on and it immediately plays.
I think we're getting older. If we can't manage our technology well, that's
it was
a
best
sign.
Plays of men's college basketball on Wednesday, and so at least it's relevant as we dive into some of the games from...
I mean, we may as well just turn the TV volume on in here and let that play in the background with the Olympics going on right now, which are awesome,
by the way. I was
going to
say, it's the half pipe.
Dude, the half pipe and snowboarding, it's so awesome.
We are mesmerized.
But I have seen four females in a row fall on the half pipe because of the snow that's going down in Italy right now, because the half pipe's just covered in snow. Oh, she didn't fall. I don't know who that was, but she rocked it. That was awesome. Dude, the half pipe's so cool. Man, it's so cool. For folks that don't know, that's basically the long run of the snowboarding where they go up and back and down the sides and go up in the air and, yeah, and just flip through. Like, it's so cool. So
it feels like it makes absolutely no sense either. The fact that you're able to get that much height every single time.
I believe Homegirl just secured gold, by the way. Because I just got an update, and this is live going on. Chloe Kim, who we literally just watched go down right before the show, she got silver.
There it is.
Yeah, she just got silver. Chloe Kim did. One of the greatest snowboarders in the history of the U.S. She got silver in the half pipe for the United States. So
that was why, even though there was the fall, you saw her celebrating.
Yeah, because she still medaled. Yeah.
Makes a little bit more sense.
Makes sense. Yeah. So, again, phone lines are open today, 334-321-1390.
And no spoilers on the text box if you're ahead of us. Gosh.
We shouldn't be. Text box is open, 334-784-1067. And we begin with college basketball because we're now through the midweek games, at least in the SEC. Of course, conferences like the Big Ten, they play 7 days a week because there's so many daggum teams. But through right now, mid-Feb, heading into this weekend, we have standings that are updated across the conference, across the country. We have bracketology that will be updated tomorrow. And just games last night in college basketball that were intriguing, were entertaining, and at least relevant, right? There were some games that delivered, others that did not. And we start in the SEC, where we talked to our man Jordan Hill yesterday of Dogs 247 about the Georgia Bulldogs, who were looking for their biggest win of the year on their home floor against a top 15 Florida team. And that just didn't happen. Wasn't even close. They were not even in the same stratosphere as this Florida team last night. They get beat by 20 on their home floor in Stegman Coliseum. They were down by 16 at the half, Christian Griffin, and they never had a prayer.
No, they cut it to 10 for a possession or two before Xavion Lee, who had 18 points in the contest, knocked down a three to kind of quiet the crowd with 2 or 3 minutes to go in that contest. And we got to choose, or we got to play the game of which of the three towers is going to have a really good night, and not really either of them or any of them on the scoring side of things. Condon had 12, Hauk had 11, and Chinyulu had 7, yet they combined for 27 rebounds, and Ruben Chinyulu had 20 of them.
Yeah, Jordan told us yesterday that Georgia doesn't have to win the rebounding battle, doesn't even have to be close in the rebounding battle. He said that Georgia just has to be within 15 on the boards to hang around in this game, which you thought would be possible, and they were. They were within 7, but man, that Florida team is just so efficient. They shoot 51% from the floor, 38% from deep, 80% from the free throw line, and they're just so good. They turned it over 14 times on the road,
yeah,
but Georgia couldn't make them pay. And I have to ask the question, is Florida back? Are they okay? Is Florida in a good spot? Because let's zoom out a little bit on the Gators, because this does tie into Auburn. Just want people to recognize that. This is a Florida team that took some lumps in non-con play, right? People are like, I don't know. They're probably not as good because they lost to Arizona, Duke, and UConn.
Yeah.
Okay. They started SEC play.
I believe all three of those are one seeds in bracketology, too.
I believe you're right.
Because
yeah,
Houston dropped, UConn went up.
Even though, didn't UConn lose to St. John's? Was that already adjusted for that?
I think it was adjusted because of UConn's win last night.
Ah.
So I think
yeah,
all three of those losses are to three of the 4-1 seeds in bracketology.
The other one being TCU, who we discussed yesterday, is a pretty good team in the Big 12. At least competitive. Maybe not good record-wise, but competitive nonetheless. That's a Florida team that started SEC play. Do you remember what happened? They went to Como. And they lost. They lost to Missouri. And everybody was like, how embarrassing.
Yeah.
How terrible. You suck, Florida. You lost to Missouri in Como. How terrible are you? It was by 2 points. Florida then ripped off 5 in a row. And if you haven't noticed, Missouri is actually kind of good. Okay, more on that in a minute. Five in a row after that, they host Auburn, where the Tigers get their best win of the season. And since then, Florida has turned around and won four games in a row yet again.
Yep. 18-6, 9-2 in the SEC. And how weird is it to say that matchup-wise, Auburn could be a really good challenge for this Florida team, and you saw them take that challenge in the swamp, because what Florida does is they force teams to play individual basketball. Georgia only had 8 assists on the night. Auburn's perfectly fine with having 8 assists every single night.
Unfortunately.
It's not what you want to see or hear, but you go back to that Florida game, there was a lot of mano-a-mano, there was a lot of ISO, and Keyshawn Hall in the first half. There was a couple others in the second half that ended up getting the job done, and weirdly enough, Auburn won 3 or 4 individual matchups, but I think it puts a little bit of an asterisk onto Florida's schedule because, yes, when they play team basketball the way that you saw them do last night in Athens, they're pretty dang good.
They're really good, and Florida is the best team in the SEC, and I don't think it's close. And the SEC standings would tell you that. Their resumes would tell you that. Bracketology would tell you that as well. So Florida dominates Georgia, who might be in trouble. The Dogs have just completely flipped in reverse.
Yeah, and yesterday we found out, excluding this game, you still have 3 of your next 4 against major quad one teams.
Which could be good or could be bad, right? The good news is if you're Georgia, and Auburn's kind of in this boat, and a lot of teams are in the SEC, right? You have those games on your schedule. Yep. Those are opportunities. Those are opportunities for you to build and add wins and grow your resume in the eyes of the committee. Bad news is they're tough games, and if you lose them, you're in trouble.
Yeah, at Oklahoma, at 25th-ranked Kentucky. If you remember last year, Georgia outshot Kentucky by like 30 free throws back at home in Stegman Coliseum, and so you know Kentucky will be ready for that contest. Mm-hmm. Then they host Texas, then they go back on the road to Vanderbilt. So
that's
3 of
tough,
their next
man.
4 before you end it with South Carolina at Alabama, or home for Alabama rather, and then at Mississippi State.
Speaking of Alabama, I thought this game was going to be better last night. It was not. Alabama goes on the road to Oxford. Close first half.
I was about to say, first half showed it could have been close.
Back and forth. Good game. Game of runs. And then Bama did what Bama did. They do what Bama do, right? And Nate Oates' squad on the road in SEC play against a good, talented Chris Beard team. 61 points. In the second half. 61, Christian. 61 points in the second half.
Alabama made 9 twos in the contest.
That's so crazy.
Alabama made 9 two-point field goals. They were 9 of 21. They were 17 of 45 from 3. And then 24 of 26 from the free throw line. So
that's Alabama playing at its best.
That is...
absolute
to where, yes, those 9 field goals, obviously you got fouled down low as well, which we saw Ole Miss in the paint physicality-wise is not there, and Alabama was able to really take control of that in the second half. But my goodness, 17 threes and 24 made free throws, that is what Alabama wants to do against a team that allowed Alabama to do what they wanted to.
Yeah, Ole Miss has really taken a step back, and they're now under 500 in the season, not just an SEC play. Tennessee handles Mississippi State on the road. That's a 9-point win. Don't be a box score viewer here. Tennessee was in control the entire way. I mean, this game was ugly. Tennessee did what they wanted to do. And I'm disappointed at what Mississippi State is. Funny enough, would you believe it that Ole Miss and Mississippi State have the exact same record?
In conference play and in the season. It's wild.
11-13 overall, 3-8 in SEC play.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have known that if I didn't look at it right now or going into these games even. I wouldn't have known that.
No, I would have told you, yeah, Ole Miss had
a couple
at
more
least
wins,
2,
yeah.
if not 3 more games under their belt.
And then the result of the night. In College Station, Aggieland, Bucky Ball. It was Bucky in last night. Just wasn't good enough. Because here comes... the Tigers, not the Auburn Tigers, not the LSU Tigers, not even the Clemson Tigers, the Missouri Tigers, who are quietly one of the best teams in the SEC. Yes, I said it. And it's true. Missouri is a competitor, a threat, a danger in the Southeastern Conference on the hardwood. 86-85, Missouri holds on, gets the win in College Station. Comeback fashion, mind you.
Yeah.
And gets one of their best wins of the season.
Yeah, they throw a lob to Mark Mitchell down low, and he then responds on the other end of the floor and gets the game-sealing block on Rashawn Agee, who has turned into one of the better rebounders in conference play. He had 9 rebounds, had 13 points on 4 of 5 shooting, and one of those stats where if you only look at A&M, you tell me that they beat Missouri by double digits. They shoot 50% from the floor, 15 of 33 from the three-point line. They go 12 of 15 from the free throw line and only allow Missouri to shoot 15 free throws as well. They only make 9 of them, and Missouri only makes 7 three-pointers. That right there, you would tell me, yeah, okay, doing simple math, A&M wins by 12, if not 15 points. But Missouri was 35 of 65 from the field.
Yeah.
Bully ball down low.
And here they are, 17-7, 7-4 in the SEC. As it stands right now, heading into the games this weekend, there are 5 teams in the Southeastern Conference with a 7-4 conference record. Vandy, Tennessee, Alabama, Missouri, and Texas A&M.
And Missouri's, sorry.
I was going to say, what's crazy about Missouri is the what-if factor.
Yeah.
The what-if question here, it's our favorite game, what-if, right? We haven't played in a while. What if, okay, Missouri's big wins like Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, and A&M, what if those hold? But what if Ole Miss doesn't beat Missouri? What if LSU doesn't beat Missouri? What if Georgia doesn't beat Missouri? 3 teams we just got done talking about that are in the bottom half of the SEC. Georgia with a losing record. Ole Miss with a losing record. LSU with a losing record.
Auburn 500. Or that was a win. Never mind.
Right. What if those 3 teams don't beat Missouri?
Yeah.
We're talking about a Missouri team that's 10-1 in conference play, if that's the case. Now, you're going to lose one of those here and there. Fine. Let's give them 2 out of those 3. Right? But I understand that 2 of those were on the road. Georgia beat you in Como, but man, the SEC would not be ready for a Missouri squad that's 9-2 in the league, tied with Florida at the top. That's not the case right now. That's what if they didn't lose games that they probably should have won. The league would not have been ready for that.
And you look at their schedule upcoming, and I'd be lying if it was overly daunting, but it's a bunch of those teams that are just there and can make noise. Texas being one of those teams. You then host Vanderbilt. You go to Arkansas. You host Tennessee, at Mississippi State, at OU, before you host Arkansas again. It's not anything where you're sitting there looking at the bottom of the mountain going, holy cow, I'm supposed to climb that?
I think we got to quit writing off Missouri. You got to quit writing them off. They're a good team.
Almost like we have the past couple of years, all of the SEC.
Yeah, they're a good team. And so my question to you as we get to break, Christian, and this can be answered by Auburn fans too, does the loss for Auburn sting less? Does it not hurt as bad that Auburn went to Como and played terrible and lost by 10, 84-74? Again, a Missouri team that's already beat Florida, Kentucky, Auburn, and now Texas A&M with their win last night. Does that take some of the sting away for Auburn losing in Como? We'll talk about that coming up next, plus what those standings are and what Auburn's got coming up down the stretch. We talk that and more when we come back, as we're just underway here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Talking more college basketball. We'd love to get your thoughts if you have them. 334-321-1390 is the phone line number to give us a call. Well, the text box is open at 334-784-1067. And I posed a question, Christian, as we were going to break. Given the fact that Missouri, and I know people hear that and they're like, ugh, Missouri? Yeah, Missouri.
Very similar conversation to Vanderbilt. The thought process.
Yeah, yeah. Missouri's 7-4 in conference play. It's on me. You did it yesterday, I did it today.
I did, yeah.
Fine.
I said very similar to the way that we think of Vanderbilt now.
Correct.
As well.
Missouri 7-4 in SEC play. 17-7 on the year. A bona fide tournament team. One that I don't think anybody really wants to play right now. On a 3-game win streak and just went to College Station and got a big win last night. Does that take away any of the sting for Auburn losing to that team? Because that continues to be one of those games for Auburn that we just kind of forget about, that we're trying to rinse off and wash away, right? And Auburn has much bigger problems right now than their loss to Missouri. But
right.
I don't know. Does it make you feel any better that Missouri might actually be a good basketball team?
Answering that beforehand, you mentioned a bona fide tournament team. I have a weird feeling this is going to change because as of right now, Joe Lunardi has Missouri as the second team out. They have
what?
Them listed. They have Missouri listed as the 70th overall team, right behind Ohio State. I have a weird feeling that
that
is going to change.
Not right. That's not correct. How?
I have no idea.
How? What is Missouri's net ranking? And I want to see their record in quad 1, 2, 3, and 4. They've got, well, without even looking at that, that loss to LSU cannot be good. That at least was on the road for Missouri. They're 57th in the net. They're undefeated in quad 3, quad 4. They do have 3 quad 2 losses. That doesn't help.
They have, yeah, 3 quad 2, but they are 3-4 now with the win over A&M.
But like we were talking, I mean, they've got chances against Vanderbilt, at Arkansas, Tennessee, and Arkansas again. God, they play Arkansas.
And Georgia before last night was a quad 1 game. That then dropped because Georgia dropped in the net too.
Got you. Missouri plays Arkansas twice in a 5-game span.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have done a better job at scheduling that SEC.
I would agree with that.
But that's 1, 2, 3, 4 quad one opportunities for Missouri that they have to boost their resume. Who's the fifth? Is Texas at home? I wouldn't think so. I'm saying Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Arkansas
Oklahoma,
again.
And then Oklahoma as of now because it's an away game and Oklahoma's the 71st ranked team. So it's listed as the top 75.
Also being told one of those quad 2 losses, I assume that is, losing to Notre Dame.
Yes.
In non-con play. It was on the road, though.
It's because, again, it wasn't at the time, but Notre Dame is the 88th team in the net.
And last in the ACC.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Again, those three, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, and even Georgia, I guess you could say, but those... If you could bump those up, or you, that right now is where you're Missouri, you're hoping for Georgia to have a really good end of the year. Ole Miss to have a really good end of the year, just to try and get back into that quad one category.
Is one of their quad two wins Auburn?
It is right now, yep.
Because it was on their home floor.
Uh-huh, because it's only the top 30, and Auburn is 31st right now on the net.
Top 30 on your home floor, top 50 neutral site, top 70 on the road, or
yeah,
is it top 75 on the road?
That's the same thing we talked with Jordan yesterday.
Yeah.
Auburn is a quad two win for Georgia right now.
Meaning that will be a quad two game for Arkansas at home this weekend, which hurts, right? That hurts. Arkansas, top 25 team. You're going to have a battle between Mississippi State and Auburn of a couple of quad two teams. That's exciting. Mississippi State is the 100th team in the net right now. The 100th team in the net. Good Lord. They are 2-9. Oh, Mississippi State has 3 quad 3 losses. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's really bad. Who would have thought that Kansas State coming into this year would just not be anything?
The team themselves is terrible. That like the Kansas State basketball team is horrible.
But they have a couple names that you would have thought otherwise.
PJ Haggerty's that dude.
Yes.
He's one of the best players in the country. I haven't looked at his stats recently. Last time I looked, he was averaging like 22
game. I saw that he was still
that
top
guy's
of the
unbelievable.
Game.
He's averaging 23 points a game.
Yeah, 23, 5, and 4, shooting almost 50% from the floor.
But you wouldn't know it because the team is terrible. But yeah, Mississippi State losing to Kansas State, New Mexico. I found it. San Francisco.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? San Francisco plays Gonzaga. That's a good team.
That is.
That's a great team from a great conference, and we should respect San Francisco because they play Gonzaga.
And you know, want to know what's weird about that is you mentioned that Mississippi State was 100th in the net. San Francisco is only 106th.
Brutal.
Kansas State is 104th.
Oh,
and
no.
And Ole Miss is 85th. And so,
no way that comes back to bite Auburn when they go to Starkville. Next, what is that, next Tuesday night?
Yeah, no,
next
not
Wednesday
at all.
Night, yeah.
Again, you're not a box score of that Tennessee-Mississippi State game, but
no.
If you were, it definitely scares you, the fact that Tennessee had to escape that one, at least on paper.
On paper, Tennessee was in control for most of it, but we know how the hump is, and Auburn's record in that building recently isn't great. It's not terrible, but it's not great either. But we'll keep talking Auburn basketball when we come back, because Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, he'll be joining us to talk basketball and a full baseball preview. Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network joins us next.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins, and it's Thursday at 2:30, which means we get to the phone lines and welcome in our first guest of the day. He is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. Brad, I hope you're doing well, enjoying the sunshine a little bit, and I know you've got the United States hockey game on your TV right now in that office, right?
False. I might if I was in the office, but I'm actually, you know what? I'm home with a sick kid today.
Ah.
And so I'm falling down on my patriotism and falling up on the parental duties. So
well,
that's what we have going on today.
I mean, if you're at home, I know you got a TV around there. Just put it on the background while you're taking care of the sick kid. And if you start chanting USA while it happens, it's okay. They'll understand.
Yeah, not a big hockey guy. Never
Brad.
Been a big hockey guy.
Man.
Sorry. So sorry.
That's
have
okay.
A flaw.
That's well, there's other things that we can talk about. I won't pick your brain on hockey then. We will, though, pick your brain on Auburn basketball and Auburn baseball. And I want to start with baseball because opening day is tomorrow at Plainsman Park. Tigers welcoming in at Youngstown State Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I want to ask you on the forefront if you've heard anything or are able to share anything in terms of the schedule this weekend. I know there's some weather in the forecast on Sunday. So has there been any conversations or anything that we're able to share with the fans at home?
Not that I have been made aware of.
Okay.
I'm sure they're monitoring behind the scenes, but you know, this administration really puts a lot of focus on and care in the schedule, and they're very particular about making sure they can play and making the right decision based on game, you know, based on the weather. And so a lot better than some other places we went in the league last year where we sat around for hours to play a game when a monsoon started, but that's neither here nor there. So no, right now 5:30, 6, and 2 are the scheduled game times. And as they get a clearer picture to what Sunday looks like, then they can make adjustments from there. But no changes that I've been made aware of.
Well, then we'll run with that until we are told otherwise. And again, opening weekend at Plainsman Park, beginning tomorrow night at 5:30. All those broadcasts Friday and Sunday on Wings 94.3 here locally in Auburn, Opelika. Saturday plan to be here on ESPN 106.7 with the men's basketball broadcast on Wings. But we know the starting guys on the mound this weekend, yeah. Brad. Auburn announced that yesterday. Your thoughts on the three guys getting the baseball this weekend?
Yeah, how about that? No returning starters, not weekend starters anyway, but Jake Marcia, not for Auburn anyway, Marciano, the transfer from Virginia Tech, from New Jersey, left-hander, 6'2", really good, frustrated the Auburn hitters throughout these last few weeks of practice. A high strike rate, that is the bar that's set by Coach Thompson and Coach Tiefert.
Yeah.
He's thrown the most strikes. And so a lefty that can put it in under the hands of right-handers and can, you know, pitch well effectively away and with the changeup away to left to righties, and or to lefties rather, that's good. So looking forward to seeing him tomorrow. And then the other two guys, Jackson Sanders from Opelika and Alex Petrovic, who started a couple of midweek games and can be a powerhouse. I mean, you know, a lot of horsepower between that or behind that 6'4 frame. Had a perfect game, I think, at Jack State through six innings. And then after that start, his endurance, his velocity fell off a little bit. So, you know, they believe these guys have done it and they've thrown the most strikes. You know, those three guys, along with Ryan Hetzler, have thrown the most strikes in practice. And they therefore, they have earned the nod this weekend, and looking forward to seeing what they look like.
We got to talk to Butch Thompson a couple of days ago about the lineup and saying that there's 13 or 14 guys that he feels like he could throw anywhere in the field, anywhere in the lineup, and they could get the job done, which is a very good problem to have when the lineup is filled on Friday afternoon. Brad, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to being so early on in the season? Is it the aggressive patience? Is it maybe taking the ball the other way? Anything that you really like to see early on from a hitting crew that gives you confidence moving forward?
You know, they hit so well the last month of the regular season, really the last 4 to 6 weeks of the regular season, continued it into the regional, and then just ran into a buzzsaw in Coastal Carolina. Yeah. But guys like Eric Guevara were tearing the cover off the ball, and Lucas Steele, much better the last 2 months than the first 2 months of the season. Can they carry that over? Bub Terrell hit 300 as a true freshman. I feel like he sometimes gets lost in the mix because Rembert and Frelick get talked about so much, but Bub with a 300 year in his true freshman season. And then where does he play defensively? Do we see him at first base? Is he the next guy that gets developed as a defensive first baseman for Auburn, like in the line of Tyler Miller and Sonny DeShera and Cooper McMurray, guys that were solid, but you didn't know exactly how they'd handle the transition defensively,
mm-hmm.
and they did well. Is he the next guy to do that? Is Cade Ballou fully healthy and ready to go? Bristol Carter, can he continue? Like, there's so many returning pieces. That's where my eyes go first, is are they locked in at the beginning of the year the way that they were, anywhere close to the way they were at the end of last season? And if so, you're going to see, you know, big numbers this weekend.
It's opening weekend again for Auburn baseball. Youngstown State is in town, and we did ask Butch Thompson this, too, about just what he's looking for and the staff looking for. Not just an opening weekend, Brad, but over the first several games, right? Cincinnati comes in next Tuesday. Then this team heads to Arlington, where they were very successful last year, playing some big names again this year, too. What are you looking for? Because you're going to be on the call for a lot of these early games for Auburn baseball. What are you looking for with a team that has a lot of returners, but, as you just mentioned, a lot of new guys, too?
Yeah, seven games, I guess, in the first 10 days that will tell us a lot. Youngstown State's a team that struggled last year. You don't know exactly what all, you know, how much they're going to improve or add or lose, and you just never know. It's more about what you do for yourself this first weekend, and then Cincinnati on a Tuesday, and then Louisville, Florida State, Kansas State. Good opposition, again, in a ballpark where Auburn has gone 5-1 in two trips out there to Arlington. And, you know, they've had great seasons. I put more in that Arlington trip than I do even opening weekend or the first midweek game, because when Auburn has had success in Arlington, they've had successful seasons. It can really be a jumping off point, because if you go to Arlington, I know we'll talk more about this next week. Maybe we may be in the air this time next week. I don't know. But if they have success in Arlington, once those pitchers have stood on the mound in that major league park, even though there's not going to be 30,000 or 20,000 or even 10,000 in the stands, once you stand on that mound and in that batter's box in that major league ballpark, you're not going to be intimidated standing in Columbia, Missouri, or Gainesville, Florida, or Tuscaloosa, or anywhere else you play. So it's awesome experience early in the year. And I'm not to overlook or look past this opening weekend where we can learn a lot, but I think you start setting your benchmarks for this year with Arlington next weekend.
Excited for a big baseball season for Auburn here on the Plains. They get started on Friday with Youngstown State, and we'll have the radio broadcast for you here locally over on Wings 94.3. When there's conflictions with basketball, as we will have for the first several weeks, you'll have baseball here on ESPN 106.7. And the voice you'll hear for a lot of it is Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, who's on the phone lines right now. And let's flip to the hardwood, sir, and talk about what Stephen Pearl's squad is up against on Saturday in Fayetteville. We'll talk about the Hogs in a moment. Auburn's got to find itself and find a way to get back on track. 3-game losing streak heading to Fayetteville.
Yeah, right off the heels of a 4-game winning streak. And so they're trying to kind of get back to the way that they were playing before. This is what a basketball season looks like for a team that is not, you know, like last year's and it's what makes last year's team the best in school history. It has to be. Because last year's team was that team from Maui through the end of the year. Like, we knew after Maui, this team, like, if they didn't make the Final Four, it was going to be a disappointing season. And they wore that expectation all year long and ultimately achieved it. This was a team that early on we knew was going to have some ups and downs and was going to be a challenge to really lock into an identity. And that's what you've seen. I mean, you saw two very close losses to start conference play, and you saw a bounce back, and you saw a 4-game winning streak and a win at Gainesville, and then the next three against good teams, legitimately good teams, and maybe even a couple of them very good. I think Tennessee and Vanderbilt are very good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Then they've fallen short. So who are they? Are they the team that won four straight, including Gainesville? Or the team that lost three straight and have, you know, kind of struggled to put together the consistency? That's what they're trying to find, and it doesn't get easier this weekend with Arkansas, a team that they pummeled at Neville Arena a few weeks ago, and Darius Acuff playing very well. It's going to be a challenge to limit what he can do scoring the ball. But that's kind of where this team is. We're in the middle of that up-and-down cycle right now, and with about 3 weeks left to get back on the up end.
Well, according to Mr. John Calipari, the first time that Auburn played Arkansas, it was not his team. He did not watch tape. He threw it all out, got everybody on the bus, and said, let's get back to Fayetteville. You mentioned a couple of the guys for the Hogs that are playing really, really good basketball right now. If you are Stephen Pearl, what would be your biggest challenge to this Auburn team going on the road, a very hostile environment, to a team that you know will be ready to play since you got the better of them in round one?
Yeah, you know Arkansas is going to be physical. They didn't have paint points in the first half the first time around, and they took way too many outside shots for what they want to do. So I think they're going to try to go inside. They're going to try to drive and dish. They may work their offense through the post, and it'll be up to Keyshawn Murphy and Filip Jovic and anybody else who plays the 4 and 5 spot for Auburn to match that physicality. It'll be up to those guys to drive and lean into contact. And if you don't get the call, you come back on the other end and you play the exact same defense that you would play if you scored or if you got the call and got to the free throw line. I would challenge the team to play with emotion and not from emotion, and to play grounded basketball the way they don't have to dream or hope. They have evidence from as little as 2 weeks ago for what they can do when they play grounded, with emotion, not from emotion, trust the scouting report, and go out and execute. They have evidence that they can lean on. It's not a hope.
And Brad, before we let you go, and again, we appreciate you taking the time today home with a sick kid. I know that's not easy, and we appreciate you making the time to speak with us. Are we entering a dangerous point of the season, right? It's tough to talk about, and it's kind of hard to believe that it's reality, but are we entering a tough spot of the season or a crucial part of the season where Auburn is on this 3-game losing streak, another big opportunity for a resume-building win, but with the games being limited left on the schedule, are we entering that spot where Auburn's in do-or-die mode to turn it around?
Yes and no. I mean, I think 2 games into the 4-game winning streak, though, was do or die mode. Because if at that point you had lost 4 or 5 in a row, you'd have the same conversation. If this team all of a sudden turns around and say wins three of the next four, you know, are we not? Does it make the last three games of the regular season any less important? I don't think so. I think at this point the staff is aware of where they are in its tournament seedings. Steven said it after the game Tuesday night that, you know, you're running out of opportunities to better your resume. There's still plenty of them out there. Still plenty out there. You got, what, seven games left? So you still got plenty of opportunities to do it. But, yeah, I mean, you're in the middle of February now. You're a month away from the end of the regular season. And so you need more wins than losses down the stretch.
Auburn basketball at Arkansas Saturday, 7:30. We'll have the radio broadcast for you on our sister station, Wings 94.3, beginning at 7 with Andy Burcham, Randall Dickey. They'll be in Fayetteville, but our guy Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, will be here on Saturday on ESPN 106.7 for Auburn baseball, which begins Friday, carries into Saturday and Sunday as well. Brad, we appreciate the time, my friend. Plug it all. Tell people what they need to know. Crossover season is back once again.
Yeah, we'll take it one at a time. Tiger Talk tonight, Wings 94.3 out at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. Come and join us for dinner and a show here in the area. We've got Stephen Pearl and Carl Nonnemaker talking basketball and baseball. And then tomorrow, 5:15, Wings 94.3 for Auburn baseball against Youngstown State. Saturday, men's basketball with Andy Randall and then Jacob Hillman is in the studio for that starting at 7 o'clock. And then, yeah, pending that weather, 1:45 Sunday on Wings for baseball. Busy weekend. We love it.
Brad, we appreciate it, man. Stay healthy yourself. Get that kid feeling better, and we'll hear you on the radio the next several days.
We're fine, really. No, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. War Eagle.
War Eagle. That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network. Carries fast in the Law household, apparently. So, hey, we appreciate it again, Tim, taking the time. He's with us every Thursday at 2:30. He did bring up a fun fact, though, that I guess I didn't realize, that he could be on the, well, I don't know. It says Auburn baseball plays Friday, Saturday, Sunday next week in those Arlington games. So he shouldn't be on the air next Thursday. Hopefully not. So hopefully we can get boots on the ground conversation with him this time next week after Auburn plays its first four games on the diamond. And then we'll have that big weekend set coming up against Kansas State, Florida State, and Louisville in Arlington.
Yeah, again, that tournament was really the one that kind of kickstarted this team last year,
yeah,
of being
absolutely
able to play a couple of really good games. We had conversations of 2-1 would be listed as really good. 1-2, you would at least be understandable, and they go out there and win. And you mentioned it, what, now 4-1? Or was it even more than that?
Yeah, 4-1 at Globe Life Field.
Which
or
is,
maybe 5-1. I think he said 5-1.
It was 5-1, but it makes sense for the three games.
Yeah.
The little round-robin-style tournament. But, I mean, how cool is it for a coach like Butch Thompson to be able to see a team really be revamped like they were last year after going to that place, and now you have a bunch of those returners and the new guys that now get to go experience that again and bring back a lot of those memories from last year of, okay, these are the things we did right up into this tournament. These are the things that we didn't necessarily do right. And yes, it's a different team, but from baseball and the numbers perspective, you hope that you can learn a lot from that before, after, and then as you work your way to SEC play.
That'd be a really cool trip. I wish
It'd
we could
awesome.
Go to Arlington and see those games, but we'll be listening on Wings 94. And again, anytime there's crossover here over the next several weeks between men's basketball and baseball, men's basketball broadcast locally here in Auburn Opelika over on Wings 94.3. Baseball is there unless there's basketball. In that case, it's right here on ESPN 106.7. And speaking of that, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get into the second hour where we are going to talk some college football. We got some schedule superlatives, if you will. Schedule rankings for 2026, according to the folks at On3. And you'll never guess where Auburn is. It's a tough schedule. I'll just go ahead and tell you. It's a tough schedule. So we'll talk about that. Plus, we do have a little bit of an update in Auburn's special teams with the kicking game. Good news in the kicking game for Auburn. And then Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us in the second hour as well. So looking forward to that coming up in the second set of 60 Minutes.
Yeah, but while we, again, do just have a moment or two, do want to shout out a couple of the former Auburn University football players that announced their invite to the 2026 Combine. Again, there are six of them that made the cut. We know about Keldrick Falk, who, again, last time we talked about him, was projected to go 10th overall to Cincinnati. I was going to see if you were going to make a comment about the mascot.
No, I've done it a lot recently. No. I'll give him
We'll just call him Cincinnati, and congratulations, Keldrick. And
to the Tigers from the jungle.
Sure.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Keldrick will be joined by Keron Crawford and Bobby Jamison Travis, which is really cool on the defensive line side of things. Crawford continued to see his draft stock rise all throughout last year. Right now, it's projected to go anywhere from late two to early five, and you would expect that number, hope that number at least, to be near the former number that we listed. On the offensive side of the football, you have Connor Liu, Dylan Wade, and Jeremiah Wright who will attend. So a lot of guys in the trenches that are going to be attending the NFL Combine for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, which is still good. Again, we've talked about what that means for Auburn as a program, right? Obviously, there's been a ton of turnover, and you have coaching changes yet again. But for Auburn to at least have its logo still relevant out there and having guys go to the league, I mean, how much weight does it carry in 2026? I don't know, but it's still cool. I mean, Auburn's got Super Bowl champs this year that were a part of the Seahawks team. So, you know, you get to cheer those guys on, and it's cool watching them go and do their thing. So,
looking at you can see the whole list of the guys that got the combine invite. My goodness, the quarterbacks, yes, but the running back room is absolutely insane. Just rolling down this list, I mean, you have Catron Allen, Jonah Coleman, C.J. Donaldson, Roman Hemby, Emmett Johnson, Jeremiah Love, Jam Miller, Le'Veon Moss, Jadarian Price. I mean, there's so many really big names in that running back room that are going to the combine.
Should be a lot of fun. Hour number one is in the books. Stick around. We flip to college football talk coming up in hour number two.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get you underway in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin, and we appreciate you being with us on a beautiful day here in the Auburn Opelika area. Hour number two underway. Hour number one in the book. So if you missed any of the first 60 minutes of today's show, we're sorry that you missed a good one, but you can always go back and listen to it if you want to at ESPNAU.com, and I highly encourage that you do so. We talked a lot of college basketball in that first hour with with big games last night around the country, around the SEC as well, and some of those updated standings where Auburn is quickly falling behind. So we talked about that in hour number one, plus Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network was with us at 2:30. Talk to him about basketball, baseball, and more from the Auburn Sports Network perspective. So, again, all of that was in the first hour, and if you missed any of the first hour of today's show, again, check it out wherever you get your podcast or on our station website at ESPNAU.com.
I'll make sure to go in and miss it or grab it too if I missed any of it, if I was he, but
I misspoke. It's fine.
No, I'm just letting you know if I missed it. I'm going to go check it out as well.
You should.
I should.
Everybody should.
One more time, where do I need to go?
ESPNAU.com.
There you go. Here in hour number two, we're talking about On Three's hardest schedules in 2026 on the college football side of things, because you wouldn't believe it. Auburn's in there. What? No way.
Shocker. No way.
I know. I just caused a wreck. I'm so sorry to let you know that Auburn plays a really tough schedule in 2026. But where do they lie in the top 10? And what are some of the other teams in this top 10 that we will dive into? Also, some news along the Auburn special teams unit side of things. Some good news, which Jacob found that we're going to be able to dive into for just a little bit before we get Chris Gordy on the phone lines to join us as he does every single Thursday at 3:30. We'll be able to dive into a lot of these generic conversations on the toughest schedules in college football with the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, also college baseball, SEC baseball, getting underway here this weekend. Should be a lot of fun here in hour number two.
Yep, and so until then, until Chris Gordy joins us at 3:30, you can join us if you would like to on the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390 to call in and be a part of the show, or you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And yes, On Three posted a graphic today ranking the toughest schedules in college football for the upcoming 2026 season, which it may be early for that, but we're allowed to have these types of conversations earlier now because of no spring portal window, yeah. Right? And we've talked about that several times, and I've made my thoughts very clear that we now can actually dive into the rosters.
How nice is that, too?
It's so nice.
The fact that we don't have to come on here and talk about, man, we heard this guy had a good week of practice.
Hope
everybody gets to see him in Jordan-Hare. No, yeah. You don't have those conversations anymore.
And so you can make lists like this that have some sort of relevancy. Is that right? Relevancy? Yeah. Relevancy? Yeah. Yes. Legitimacy also. Big words here. But it's true. You can actually have these conversations and have somewhat of an argument.
One more. Find another one.
Relevancy, legitimacy, and seriousness.
Sure.
It works.
It does.
It's not ideal, but it works. And so, yeah, On Three put out this ranking. Okay, toughest college football schedules in 2026. We'll work from the bottom towards the top. And there's no surprise that it is heavily favored and heavily littered with SEC teams. 8 of the top 10 hardest schedules in college football next year, according to On Three, belong to the Southeastern Conference.
And a little bit of a hint, the two teams that are not in the SEC, the only reason they're up there is because they play an SEC team.
And they play each other, which doesn't help either. But the Big Ten is talking a lot of talk, and they should. They've won 3 national championships in a row with 3 different teams, and one of them being Indiana. Okay, the fact that Indiana has won a national championship before teams like Ole Miss, right? Those types of things. They've won a national championship more recently than any team in the Southeastern Conference.
More recently than Auburn's been to the playoff?
Yeah. The Big Ten's talking, and they should. But this proves, and this graphic is obviously up for interpretation, and this list is up for interpretation. But it goes to show that the SEC is still extremely difficult, and there are very few off weeks in this league. There are still off weeks in the Big Ten. I'm sorry, there are. Because I have Ohio State's schedule pulled up, and there's some tough ones, sure. But what would you compare in the SEC to a home game against Maryland for the Buckeyes. Maryland's terrible.
Yeah.
They suck. How would you compare, or what would you compare, a home game versus Northwestern like Ohio State has on November 14th?
Funny enough, it wouldn't be a team in the SEC.
Exactly. That's my point. Ohio State has some tough games on here. There's no doubt about it. Okay? They play three non-conference games, and I'm just kind of foreshadowing here for a minute. You mentioned that they play at Texas in week two, which is a big deal. And they've got a lot of tough games on there as well. We'll circle back to the Buckeyes. But 10 through 1, 10 being, again, it's a top 10 list, so judge it on how you will. But Kentucky is at 10, LSU at 9 with Lane Kiffin, Florida at 8 with John Summerall, 7 is Ole Miss with Golding, Michigan is at 6, and we'll stop there for a moment. Again, Kentucky, LSU, Florida, Ole Miss, Michigan are in the top 10 of the hardest college football schedules next year, according to On3.
I'm just looking right here at number 10 at Kentucky, and oh my. You host Youngstown State in football, not baseball, not like the Auburn Tigers, in week one. You then go to Tuscaloosa in week two.
Gross.
You then go to Kyle Field in week three. Back-to-back weeks. You then host South Alabama before you go to South Carolina. Your first three, two of your first three. Okay, so no, never mind. You do host Alabama, which makes things a little bit different. I was looking at the at symbols incorrectly. But at South Carolina, you're then home for LSU, and then at Oklahoma, and then right back with Vanderbilt before your off week. That's a brutal first half of your schedule, plus.
And you finish up at Tennessee, home for Florida, at Missouri, home for Louisville. The home games for Kentucky next year are awesome.
They're incredible.
Alabama, LSU, Vandy, Florida, Louisville.
Yeah.
That's big time stuff.
And Youngstown State.
And
South Alabama. Okay.
Watch out for South Alabama now. But remember, that is a completely brand new Kentucky team.
It is.
That has some sneaky good talent on it. They took Oregon's offensive coordinator, who is really, really good. So keep that in mind. So that is understandable. Okay, that Kentucky has a top 10 schedule. Lane Kiffin and LSU have a top 10 hardest schedule in college football, as does Florida and Ole Miss from the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, LSU gets it started once again with Clemson. This time they get it at home. That week three matchup, LSU at Ole Miss. Oh, man. We've talked about that for a long time. They're going to make sure that everybody in America is able to watch that college football game. With Lane Kiffin going back to Oxford, LSU then has Texas A&M right in there as well. They go to Kentucky, home for Mississippi State, then they go to Auburn, and they finish it up. My goodness, their November is brutal. Alabama, Texas, Tennessee, and Arkansas. And you finish it up again at Tennessee and at Arkansas. That's a tough November.
The team I wanted to highlight, knowing we were having this conversation today, the one that I wrote down was Florida. Okay, they're considered the eighth toughest schedule in the country, according to On3. I don't see it. I don't buy it. At Auburn, home for Ole Miss, at Missouri, home for South Carolina. What's tough about that? At Texas, yeah, that's hard. Home for Georgia, home for Oklahoma.
With a bye week in there as well.
At Kentucky, which who knows what Kentucky will be in November. Home for Vandy, and at Florida State. There's some tough back-to-backs.
There's some tough names.
I don't think that's a top 10 hardest schedule in college football. I'm sorry.
No, I'd put Kentucky in front of them.
Absolutely.
Just after reading both of those schedules, yeah.
I would put LSU in front of them. Florida is not a top 10 toughest schedule team. They're not. Which this isn't really a list you want to be on.
I was about to say,
I just don't think they have that difficult of a schedule with most of their big games coming in Gainesville.
We're just giving Jordan Hare that much credit to put him in the top 10.
I guess so. Why? Why would you as of late? So that's the one I wanted to go deep on. Ole Miss has a tough schedule for sure. And then Michigan was the first non-SEC team. And Michigan's schedule is tough because the Big Ten's loaded. It is. I mean, the Big Ten's got a lot of really good teams.
They play just about every one of the ones that are worth noting.
Yeah.
They play, second of all, week two. You then get the return trip from Oklahoma, which is, again, a reason why they're in this schedule.
It's got to be awesome.
You then have Iowa at home on September 26th at Minnesota, which is what it is, a bye week, and then the back half. Minnesota.
Minnesota.
We need that on one of the hotkeys
as well.
We
really do.
Before it's 22nd ranked, I guess rankings are irrelevant in this conversation, but you get Penn State at home. You then go get Indiana at home. You then have a couple off weeks with Rutgers and maybe Michigan State.
That's what I'm saying. That's
before you go to Eugene, UCLA, and then at Ohio State. Just the difference is when you're looking at Rutgers and Michigan State, by no means is that comparable. Even when we give Florida flack of their back-to-backs.
Don't overlook that Michigan State team, though, because remember who the new head coach is.
Oh, gosh.
They're going to play physical football.
Are.
They're going to play big boy, Big Ten, grown-up football. Do you want a hint that'll give it away?
Yes.
He was at Northwestern. His name is Pat Fitzgerald.
Pat Fitzgerald. Yep, that's...
He is the new head coach of the Michigan State Spartans, which, again, on paper, I really like that hire. The more I thought about it, though, the more I think Michigan State jumped on something quickly and hopes to fix it quickly. Pat Fitzgerald is not the guy to bring Michigan State back to college football playoff relevancy,
He's almost the stepping stone for the next.
It's basically, hey, can you come in and like fix this immediately and at least make us not laughable? But look at his record at Northwestern. I know it was Northwestern. I get it. But I don't know. I think they're not going to be a laughing stock in the Big Ten anymore. You will have to respect Michigan State again, but that's not a guy I don't think that gets the Spartans back to the CFP.
No, and that's still not, again, that schedule and that little back-to-back, I would take that in a heartbeat over at Kentucky and Vanderbilt or Vanderbilt and at Florida State like Florida has.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I would too.
Again, a weird way to look at everything, but so far we have four of the first five teams that we've mentioned are in the SEC, and good thing is it's the exact same when you look five through one.
And we haven't even got to Auburn yet, but don't you worry, we will. The toughest schedules in college football next season, according to On3, we're reacting, agreeing, disagreeing, and a whole lot more. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, phone lines are open at 334-321-1390. Where do you think Auburn should be ranked in terms of the difficulty of their schedule? We'll tell you what On3 says right after this, as we're just underway at hour number two here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7 as we're talking the hardest schedules in college football for this upcoming season on three, put out their rankings today, and we just made ourselves mad looking at the Notre Dame schedule for whatever reason because they're nowhere to be found on this list. Shocker,
what?
I know, because they've decided play two tough games a year, win one of them, and beat up on the crappy teams from the Big Ten and the ACC. And you get sharpied into the college football playoff. That's pretty much the Notre Dame formula, which is so frustrating. But if I'm Notre Dame, guess what? Same way I said about Charles Bediako and all these other players and things. If I were them, I'd do it too. To hell with the system. If it's going to favor you, let it. That's what I would say. And that's exactly what Notre Dame says.
Well, it goes back to immediately what they have said the entire time of... This further evaluates why we choose to remain independent.
Yeah, no duh. I would stay independent too. If the college football playoff is going to bow down to you and write you in every year, no matter who you play, then who cares? Read that Notre Dame schedule.
I was about to say, I'll read this. We're not going to let Jacob get too worked up about this.
I got a game tonight. I can't get mad.
Wisconsin. At Lambeau, I think it's in Green Bay, which is kind of cool, I guess.
I love Green Bay.
Yeah.
I ain't going to that.
It's then Rice, Michigan State, at Purdue, at North Carolina, home for Navy. That Navy game is in Foxborough. So they're just choosing to play in big stadiums, too. Home for Navy, then home for Miami, home for Boston College, home for SMU, at Syracuse, home for Stanford, and versus USC, Southern Cal, that is, with an asterisk of in the city to be determined.
So I hear two legitimate opponents on that schedule. I hear Miami, the defending ACC champions and national runner-up, and USC, who should be competing to make the college football playoff.
I believe I'm looking at a graphic, and then I'm also looking at FBSschedules.com, and FBSschedules has at BYU on there. The graphic does not. So they either have added that game or they took it off. I would believe they added that game, and so I guess there's a mini round of applause to them.
Yeah, if you go to Provo, I'll give you a little. I'll give you half. I'll count that in the SMU game as one. As I'll count both of them as 0.5.
Sure.
Because I'm sure SMU goes to Notre Dame. Ain't no way they're going to.
Yes.
They're not going to SMU.
Yeah. They go to Provo. I'll give you half a point for scheduling it and half a point for it be playing after 7 o'clock.
Yeah. I'm
surprised. They'll make it a noon game.
I'm surprised they didn't put that on Sunday. Right. Sunday afternoon while everybody's still, you know, in church or waking up or whatever. Notre Dame's like, oh, no. That's so crazy.
We're going to go play it overseas where nobody can watch it unless we win.
Oh, geez.
Then we'll air it tomorrow.
Anyways, Notre Dame is not anywhere near the top 10 toughest schedules in college football. But On3 put out their rankings, okay? We did 10 through 6, Kentucky, LSU, Florida, Ole Miss, and Michigan. Don't you worry, Auburn fans. We did not exclude you. And neither did On3, who says that Auburn, in year one under head coach Alex Golish, has the fifth toughest schedule in the country. And this surprises nobody.
No.
This is not a shock to anybody.
Auburn fans don't even click on this graphic or link anymore of, let's list the top 10 or top 25 toughest schedules. Okay, yeah, we're somewhere in the top five. I don't need to watch this.
I mean, this has pretty much been Auburn's life. Auburn, the life of an Auburn fan, as far as I can remember. And it was even worse back in the SEC West days.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, it was so much worse.
We talked about it last year, and you obviously saw how last year ended up working out, but we talked about it last year around this time of, man, this is a relief. This is the first time that Auburn's not first, second, or third in two decades.
Led to a good season, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Close.
Auburn plays a home game against Baylor in Atlanta. Another home game, this one in Auburn, against Southern Miss. Another home game in Auburn against Florida. And another home game against Vanderbilt in Auburn. I mean, four straight home games for Auburn next year. That's great. Four straight home games. Just
yeah.
Three of them in your actual home stadium, you know. But Baylor, Southern Miss, Florida, Vandy. On the road at Tennessee and Knoxville. On the road at Georgia with a bye week squeezed in between in Athens. Home against LSU. Actual home game in Auburn. At Ole Miss in Oxford at the end of October on Halloween. Home versus Arkansas and Jordan-Hare, at Mississippi State, home for Samford, and at Alabama. Do you agree that Auburn has a top five toughest schedule in the country next year? Do you agree with that? Taking out our previous acceptance of it being a hard schedule, looking at it objectively, or subjectively, whatever, looking at it non-biasedly, does Auburn have a top five toughest schedule in the country?
In the middle, yes. Tennessee, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss. That's
three,
really
three
tough.
Three of those on the road?
Yes. That is really, really tough right there.
Even with the bye week in there?
Yes.
Okay.
But I am by no means, let me repeat that, I am by no means saying that this is what is going to happen. Nor am I getting my hopes up.
Oh, yeah. So it begins. Write it down. February 12th on Thursday afternoon at 3:25 p.m. Central Standard Time.
You heard it here. 10-10. Just kidding. But relatively similar to last year, 4-0 is achievable. I'll say it that way.
A tall ask, but it's
very much so. And the last four games of your schedule, too, that is achievable. Is it still very difficult? Because, again, Arkansas and at Mississippi State is a hell of a lot more difficult than half the other back-to-back weeks that most teams outside the Southeastern Conference play. But
here we go.
It's achievable. That is the word that we will use.
In those eight games that you're talking about, Baylor, Southern Miss, Florida, Vanderbilt, three of those at home, one neutral site, jokes aside, and then Arkansas at home, Mississippi State on the road, Samford at home, and Bama on the road. In those eight games, just from talent alone for Auburn, I think obviously Southern Miss and Samford, right? You get those. That's two of the eight you're talking about. That's two. I think winning two of the three against Baylor, Florida, Vandy is achievable. That's five. Then, for argument's sake, I'll say you split the Arkansas-Mississippi State games. That's seven wins, not including the Iron Bowl. Six wins, sorry. Not including the Iron Bowl. Math is hard.
Bowl eligibility.
That's bowl eligibility by doing the bare frickin' minimum. With a new coach and a new staff and a new team that we have no idea what they're going to be.
With the conversations of splitting.
Yes. Not including the Iron Bowl and not including the month of October. Doesn't seem all that difficult to me.
Again, achievable.
Achievable-ish. Achievable kind of ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what was the word that we used all of last season?
Should.
Yeah, that's what it was.
How
did I forget my word?
No, I ain't going that direction.
No,
you kidding me?
No,
path is cut off. I went down that road. I ain't doing that again.
No,
that was miserable.
That genuinely was. I forgot what it was momentarily also.
So Auburn, according to On3, has a top five most difficult schedule in college. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, the United States, baby. We're back. Oh, that's a beautiful move. Men's hockey is currently playing against Latvia in the Olympics right now over in Italy. Oh, yeah, just duped him. Oh, yeah. Watch this. Left, right. Yum. Boom. Love it. U.S. up 2-1 on Latvia halfway through the second period. If you want to watch it, it's on NBC somewhere.
But no, we are not using that word should.
No.
But I think achievable is...
Achievable,
why does that still feel scary to use?
It's doable. That's another word, yeah. So Auburn again,
manageable.
According to On3, the fifth toughest schedule in college football next season. Oklahoma's at 4, Texas at 3. Poor Arkansas.
Yeah.
They're at 2, according to On3. I think Auburn's had it rough. I'm telling you, since 2000, just compare Auburn and Arkansas football schedules. Auburn's brutal. Arkansas's always got it tougher. And then there's Ohio State, who I wouldn't have believed it until doing prep for the show. And for the first time in a long time, the Buckeyes have a difficult schedule.
At Texas plays a lot of weight to it.
At Indiana, at USC, hosting Oregon, at Nebraska, hosting Michigan. Those are big boy games in the Big Ten. But a guy that does not like the Big Ten is Chris Cordy of Locked On SEC. We talk to him coming up next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. And we appreciate you being with us on a nice day here in Auburn and Opelika. And we head to the phone lines once again and welcome in our longtime guest on Thursday afternoons here on Auburn and Opelika. It is Chris Cordy, the host of Locked On SEC. My friend, it is a busy time for you between basketball, baseball, and Trinidad Chambliss news. I mean, you should have content for months now, right?
Yeah, it is a busy time of year. I've been starting to get a little bit more and more into the basketball front. But, yeah, I mean, the Trinidad thing is pretty interesting. I mean, you know, they took one last gasp attempt at the NCAA, you know, trying to get an appeal. And the NCAA keeps saying no. I mean, this is like when your mom says you can't go to the concert and you keep going and asking, like, the answer is still no. So stop asking. So
yeah, but she might change her answer, Chris, if you just ask in the right way.
Well, she's not. And, you know, the reality here is they're in court today in a Mississippi courtroom. And I was listening to some of the line of questioning, and it's just absolutely absurd. I mean, basically Trinidad Champ was saying that in 2022 when he had tonsillitis, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't even get his body in shape. He only weighed 178 pounds. Aww. He just couldn't get into shape. And it's just like, why are we hearing about this now? And apparently he says his Ferris State coach told him back then, hey, bro, we're going to get you that medical red shirt. Well, coincidentally, they just didn't do it. I mean, you know, 2022 went by, 2023 went by, 2024 went by, 2025 went by, and in 2026, they went, hey, Ferris State coach, you know, you never did give me that medical red shirt. Oh, my bad. I must have forgot. So, yeah, I mean, it's all a show, and it sounds like they just took a, you know, they did the final arguments, and they took a break, and the judges has said he's going to come back with a decision sometime today. So I would expect sometime within the hour we'll get this Mississippi judge coming back and saying, the big bad NCAA, you are wrong, and Trinidad Chambliss will get a six-year of eligibility. So, you know, it's all ridiculous. I don't begrudge the kid because, look, everybody else is getting extra years of eligibility, and there are no rules anymore. But I thought the Charles Bediako thing would at least instill some common sense, but – it's and the craziest part about it is they argued, you know, do you think your draft stock would improve if you got another year of college? And he said yes. And I'm going, bro, you might want to look at this draft, because this draft has Fernando Mendoza one and who else? Ty Simpson maybe, Garrett Nussmeier maybe. Like, Trinidad Chambliss might be the second best quarterback in his draft after his pro day. Instead, he's going to go in the draft of 2027 when you have Archie Manning, when you have Dante Moore, when you have Julian Sain. I mean, the list goes on and on with that loaded quarterback class. And so I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, it'd be better to come out now. But unfortunately for you know, everybody outside of Oxford, it sounds like he's going to get another year at Ole Miss.
Well, Chris, good news is that you don't have strong opinions about it. And so you can very easily be swayed one way or the other. You actually ended up hitting on it. I was going to ask about the Charles Bediako situation and not necessarily the details on that side of things. But if that ruling gives you any hope to the NCAA saying no, or if it's literally going to be whatever the case is, no rules whatsoever, we're going to fight for our answer until we get told what we want to hear.
Yeah, well, I mean, the good news is it looks like they're starting to draw the line on guys who've played professional ball wanting to go back to college. So at least, you know, at least we're starting to get something there. But I don't know. The Trinidad Chambliss thing is just, like, how many years of college football do you want? And I saw his quote today. He said, I'm not asking for anything more than what other people get. And that's 4 years of college eligibility. I'm going, am I taking crazy pills here? Like,
he's comparing himself to T.J. Finley, Chris.
Yeah, I'm like, are we ignoring you playing at Ferris State? Like, don't count the four, you know, count the seven and tell me it's four. Like, this is stupid. So, yeah, I mean, look, again, the Bediako thing, I think, I don't know a soul outside of Tuscaloosa that was saying, hey, this is a really good idea. Let's let the kid who played G League ball for 3 years go back to college. I mean, everybody thought it was absurd. And so, you know, he played five games. They went 3-2. They beat Auburn. Great. But, you know, anybody hoping that those wins will be vacated, they won't be, because it's not like he was an illegal player. He was granted permission to play and then granted revoked. So, you know, those five games count. It's just it's absurd that he even got five games.
Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC doing his best Russell Crowe impression from Gladiator. Are you not entertained, man? Chris is all on this situation. And I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. And the problem is you can get worked up about it and have strong opinions, but the problem is, Chris, we have nothing to do with it, and common sense isn't being used in these situations. And so we'll see how the Chambliss situation plays out, which, again, you said should be handled here momentarily. But I do want to get to some SEC basketball, and how funny of you to come on and really start diving into SEC coverage with Auburn on a three-game losing streak. I mean, is everything okay here? I mean, can Auburn turn it around in your eyes? What's going on here on the Plains?
It's not good. I mean, I think last we talked, they were playing well, and you know, it's you know, you'll lose to a, and it was a good Vanderbilt team, but you know, I kind of parallel it to the other team that's lost three in a row, and that's Texas A&M. And, you know, I said it looking at A&M's schedule that, you know, they had played some cupcakes in the league early on, and then suddenly the schedule started to beef up, played some tougher teams in the SEC, and A&M starts losing them. I just look at Auburn and say, what is your identity right now? What are you going to be? You know, this thing is starting to fade here a little bit. You know, you're talking about possibly going into the SEC tournament week with some work to do if you're Auburn, if this thing keeps going this way. So, I don't know, man. I think, you know, you get into those situations where you have a Keyshawn Hall who's awesome offensively, not so much defensively. And so it's one of those things, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And crunch time in a close game, you want a good offensive player in there, but you don't want a defensive liability in there. So it's tough. Stephen Pearl is learning the ebbs and flows of what it's like to be a head coach. It was a lot easier from that assistant coach spot, but there are big decisions to be made in big moments like these.
The Big Ten and the SEC, Chris, both have 10 teams, according to Joe Lunardi, in the March Madness tournament right now. Do you expect that number for the SEC to stay in double digits, or like what you're talking about, a couple teams that have the really tough back half of their schedule if they don't handle business? How many teams do you think make it into the March Madness tournament in the Southeastern Conference?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on Price is Right. I'll take the under. I'll go under the price. I don't think they'll get that many. I mean, I think maybe feel safe, but I just think that you're going to see more of what we started to see this week is just teams beating up on one another. I think Kentucky, put it this way, I think Florida's the real deal. I think Kentucky is showing they're pretty darn good. I think Arkansas is absolutely a contender. Tennessee, I go back and forth on, but I mean, everything else, I mean, you know, is Mizzou a lock? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of work still to be done for some teams, and there's a lot of big games still on the schedule for a lot of teams. So, again, these next couple of weeks will tell us a lot, but I would bank on, you said 10, I would bank on under that for the SEC.
It's kind of where I'm at. I don't see those teams that are on the bubble hanging on. And look, Auburn, again, could very well be in that category too if they don't turn it around down the home stretch. We got our guy Chris Gordy, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast, with us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And as much fun as football and basketball are, Chris, crossover season begins tomorrow because SEC baseball gets started around the conference. And while Auburn and some other teams aren't playing the most difficult teams to open the weekend, there are some fascinating matchups. And of course, the SEC continues to have all the teams, all the hype, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance. I'm in Florida at covering spring training out here, so I haven't had a chance to see the full slate this weekend. But I know Arkansas is going to, playing that tournament in Dallas at Globe Life, the Shriners, where I know it's a lot of good Big Ten teams like TCU and Oklahoma State in there. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I like when some of these big SEC teams go play in those kind of tournaments and test themselves. I know in a couple weeks in Houston we'll have the baseball classic there, where I think Tennessee and Texas are both going to be in that one. So, or no, it's an Ole Miss in Texas. But it'll be fun to see those teams early on. But you're right. I mean, most of the SEC is playing cupcakes that first weekend. And, I mean, frankly, it's just kind of that first weekend to get your starters out there, get them some work. Get your, you know, see if your offense can go on a big offensive explosion, put up some runs, and kind of see where you're at. But, yeah, I would, you know, we're talking under 10 teams in the NCAA tournament in basketball. I'd be thinking more 10 territory and maybe even more than that in the baseball tournament this year.
Chris, I got to ask you, it's the unique time right now with the Winter Olympics going on in Italy. Are you an Olympic guy? Are you a Winter or Summer Olympic guy?
I'll tell you this, I would rather watch Vandy's spring game on repeat than watch any Olympic event. So that's where I get. Like, I'm basketball, I'm football, basketball, baseball through and through. But you try to make me watch women's hockey, I'm sorry. I get it's every 4 years. I ain't doing it.
Wow. All right. I didn't know about that. I mean, you know, it's not for everybody. I just was curious. Not even like a one Olympics over the other. You're just like, nah, to heck with all that. I'm not watching it.
I mean, go Team USA. I'm not rooting against them, but I mean, it's like, You can't get me to give a damn about downhill skiing. I don't care.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Not only is he not a fan of Auburn, he's not a fan of the United States. Chris Gordy, the host of Locked On SEC, just confirmed it over the radio airwaves on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. My man, we appreciate you as always. I know there's a ton going on. Tell the people how they can find you, how they can find your coverage, as you've got basketball, baseball, football offseason, and a whole lot more.
Yeah, I think I'd rather watch a Hugh Freeze quarterback throw the football than watch the Olympics. But, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcast, we've been doing a fun series kind of talking about all the different quarterback battles around the SEC and kind of making our way around. We're going to get to Auburn eventually, but it's been a fun series and a lot of great feedback. So check it out, Locked On SEC.
Chris, we appreciate it, my friend. We'll do it again next Thursday where we'll have a chance to talk more basketball updates and first opening weekend of college baseball. So we're looking forward to it.
Better start winning, Stephen Pearl. Talk to you guys then.
Thanks so much. Chris Gordy, Locked On SEC. Check him out wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. I don't think I've met anybody that passionate
against
the Olympics.
Yeah.
Altogether. Again, most of the time you hear people that's like, I like the summer versus the winter. I like the winter versus summer. I love swimming or I love snowboarding, or, you know, but yeah, that's, I mean, again, respect. It is what it is. I've just never met anybody that passionate against it.
I'm almost somebody that it's so different than what I'm used to in the day-to-day world that I have to tune in at least randomly.
Oh, yeah. There's another goal. Yes. The United States pouring it on, baby. Yeah, Latvia can't hang. They can't hang.
It's a 3-0 second period.
It's awesome. See, I just what
I discovered,
other
than hockey,
though,
where it's like I watch all of these with my mouth open because it's so insane to see what other humans are able to do.
Well, I think it's unique. And again, I'm not saying you have to like it or don't like it, but what's cool about the Olympics to me is it is different, right? Track and field, shot put, throwing a massive weighted ball.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, it's different. Yes, hockey and basketball are American sports that we see every day in the United States, but I'm saying, like, even figure skating or, you know, that type of stuff, and it's like...
And to think that that's what they watch daily.
That's what they do. I mean, they do it for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I'm a professional loser.
Yeah, I mean, I lay on this sled head first with metal blades underneath it, going head first at 82 miles an hour and hope that I don't crash.
And my start is everything.
Which is so crazy. But what I've discovered here this year is at my ripe age of 26 that I'm so busy, I haven't been able to watch it like I used to when I was growing up, because when I was a kid, it was watch it in school and go home and watch it. I told you my grandparents, we loved watching the Winter Olympics and stuff, and I don't have the time right now. And the time difference, too, doesn't help with a lot of it being really early in the morning or right now in the middle of the day. So that has been upsetting for me that I haven't been able to watch it and keep up with it as much, but it's still awesome to me.
That was like our boy Hudson, who we had in here, Hudson Cock, the Auburn punter, who we had in a couple weeks ago, talking about the Australian Open and how, again, that was like he knew all of those places where they were playing, and he would stay up till 3:30 or 4 to watch the events because he was such a fan of that, and that's something that he's grown up loving and watching his whole life.
Yeah, someone just texted in to the text box, said two words, Apollo Ohno. He is a figure skater I think he was a speed skater for the Americans. They sent another text. That was really funny, but I won't read that one. That's another one.
An 8-time medalist, 2 gold, 2 silver, 4 bronze.
Yeah, I mean, guys like
short
that
track.
Yeah, those are the ones that it's just a short circle. They're just freaking hauling. You know what I mean? They're just going. So really cool there. But again, we thank Chris Gordy for his time, the host of the Locked On SEC podcast. We'll come back, wrap up the show. I'll tell you what you need to know for my Auburn High game tonight. Auburn, Opelika, on the hardwood. Whew. Season on the line.
Yeah, split the regular season, the best of 3 series.
Yeah, winner keeps trucking. Semifinals, yep. Winner moves on, loser is out. We'll tell you about that, plus Lee Scott starting tomorrow as well, and we'll wrap up the show right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Apparently, Chris Gordy does not like the Olympics, and apparently some people think he doesn't like puppies either. So there you go. That's what our boy Eric in Auburn says. And yeah, Chris Gordy, a very passionate hater of the Olympics. Not of Team USA, just of the Olympics in general. So
what we're hearing is Chris Gordy might not be allowed into the On the Linebackers.
I don't know if he's an on the line back. He's not. He doesn't listen every day.
I don't know.
Which he has, you know, he has a lot going on. He hosts a podcast. He's on the radio in Houston. Like, he, you know.
I mean, yeah, but
we'll leave that up to Eric. He's the president. He can allow him in or not. We'll let him decipher that. But Chris Gordy was awesome. We talked to him about the Trinidad Chambliss situation. Yes, it's still ongoing and supposed to be done within the next 30 or 45 minutes. So speaking of passionate, he was passionate about that too.
Yeah. One way or the other, how does it feel for Deuce Knight? Like, it's got to feel
crappy.
It's got to feel really, really, again, yeah. not even against him in the Auburn situation, but it's like,
You move
back home, you transfer to guarantee yourself what should have been a starting spot, and now there's this entire saga to where if Trinidad gets his sixth year, you're going to be doing the exact same thing you would have.
Surely they had that conversation with him. And if they didn't, shame on them.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. If they didn't say, hey, we want you, we need you, but before you sign the papers, we want to let you know we're going to do everything we can and fight for Trinidad because he's our quarterback right now. You're the future, right? Surely they had that conversation. If they did, good for them. If not, shame on them. But anyway, Chris Gordy talked about that, plus some basketball and baseball things. We also had Brad Law, the Auburn Sports Network, on today. He was great, too. Got to preview the opening series for Auburn baseball starting tomorrow. Cannot wait for that. Plus a great conversation on basketball and football with us today. So a really good show. And if you missed any of it, be sure to go back and listen to the podcast version on our station website at ESPNAU.com. Tomorrow is Free for All Friday, and it will feel like one because we're going to hit everything tomorrow. Basketball, baseball, football, you name it. We'll have it, and if we talk more Olympics, we'll call Chris Gordy on the rip and see if he answers and ask him his thoughts on downhill skiing. So that is tomorrow from 2 to 4 during Free for All Friday. But tonight, you need to flip on over to 96.3 W Lee, one of our Auburn Network's family of stations, the home of Auburn High School basketball, where the boys head to Phoenix City, not to take on the Red Devils, to take on Opelika. That's right, Auburn High, Opelika High, Tigers and Dogs, round 3 this year. Winner moves on, and the loser goes home. It's the area semifinals. It's the worst of both worlds. I have to play Opelika at Phoenix City, which is what we did last year. And, again, hopefully we've explained this well enough. But area tournament, 4 teams. 1 plays 4, 2 plays 3. Winners move on to the area championship game. They automatically qualify for the regional tournament, and the losers are out. No matter what you did in the regular season, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how good or bad you were. You have one good game, it can change everything. And that could be tonight, where Auburn and Opelika and the varsity boys games split their season meetings, both teams winning at home.
That's what I was about to say. How fitting. Both teams, after winning at home, now game 3
neutral site. Yeah, so it should be a lot of fun. 6:30, all right, over on 96.3 W Lee. We're the second game tonight. So that's a floating start time. So just prepare to be there. 6:30 on 96.3 W Lee. And tune in on the Radio Alabama app as well. It should be a whole lot of fun. I'm going to be on the call. I'm leaving right now to head to Phoenix City, and we're going to have the broadcast for you on the Auburn High Sports Network.
And Jacob's going to be on air at 6 o'clock, guiding you through the 6:45 start. He'll be talking you through the entire
time. I should just go on and do play-by-play of the fourth quarter for the first game, but I will not do that. I'll go on air, though, around 6:30, Auburn High and Opelika in the varsity boys game in playoff basketball. But we're back here tomorrow, 2 to 4, on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.